talk sport in a second, but we've been talking about steps. How many steps do you take a day? Do you monitor the steps? Does your watch, does your phone, does some kind of tracking device monitor how active you are?
Yeah, this is after a far-reaching survey by Stanford University. They called it on a planetary scale, they said, of data they collected that showed the world's sort of, both laziest and most active cities. Hong Kong coming out top, averaging 6,880 steps a day. Indonesia at the bottom, 3,513. Although I'm not sure why they've measured Indonesia as a country and the others are cities, have they?
Anyway. That's a good point. Yeah, there are a number of cities in Indonesia.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, we came in at about 4,500, I think. So we asked people what they thought they were racking up, and a couple of messages coming in here. Tim Sana says, I do about 6,000 steps a day, but I don't think that's indicative of health since there's so many other elements to consider, metabolism, food, etc. That's a good point, Sana. And Sam says, I average 10,000 steps working as an engineer and hardcore gymming. Now, you said you get close to 10,000 steps often, right? Or was it just...
No, I wouldn't say often. No, I'm certainly
not... Are you hardcore gymming?
Certainly not trying that
hard. Tim, are you hardcore
well,
gymming?
Well, yeah, you know what it's like.
Is that what it is?
When you're a gym bunny.
4001, let us know how many steps you think you're racking up.
Why do you laugh when I call myself a gym bunny? What is it that misleads you?
I can't imagine it.
Not sure how that works. Chris Picard, are you like an afternoon in the gym, don't you? You're a big fan of that, apparently.
Oh, any regular listeners will know that that is so far from the truth.
Do you measure your steps that you take?
I don't.
You've got one of those Fitbits or anything?
No.
I don't either. Yeah.
It's only when I'm speaking to people who have Fitbits that I do go into my iPhone and check how many steps I have been taking. I've got to be honest, I don't think I do clock up 10,000 a day. It's just indicative of where we live, isn't it? You jump in the car to get around places. It's very difficult to walk around. Depending on where you live, of course. If you live downtown, perhaps you walk around in the marina, maybe JLT, but there's an awful lot of areas that are just not that.
I found the 4,500 for here very surprising. I don't think they could have been measuring at this time of year.
Too low or too high?
Too low. Too high, rather. I struggle at this time of year to do 100 steps probably in my normal day, you know.
I love the fact that it's a struggle to not do anything.
No,
it's great, but I know what you mean. But
because
all right.
It's too hot to be walking outside.
Well,
isn't it?
Turn it around for a second. If you work on the second floor, as everybody in this room does, would you automatically go to the lift, or would you think four flights? I'll go up the four flights of stairs. Do you automatically go to stairs or lift?
I take the stairs.
You take the stairs.
Yeah. I would always.
You take the stairs. I'd always take the stairs. Or Sally, would you take the stairs or the lift?
I'd take the stairs.
Take the stairs. Yeah, see, that's the thing. So that's one thing you could do.
So we're clocking them up without knowing, I guess. Yeah,
without realising, you are adding, I don't know, maybe a couple of hundred steps. I mean, who knows what it takes from when you get to the door here to upstairs. And when you come back down, you've taken 500 steps just to do your job. So, I mean, it's not that much, is it? But it's doing those things, rather than getting in the lift, going up the stairs, that add to...
Exactly,
you know,
and
health,
throw in the fact, Tim,
that
we are only walking 15 steps from our front door in the office into our car, so it doesn't clock up that much. I would imagine some people are struggling to make 1,000, 2,000.
Yeah, 4001, let us know.
All right, then. It's Chris here to talk sport. Do you know, there is a truly tragic story this morning. A UAE para athlete has died. A discus cage fell on him.
Yeah,
he was doing training
tragic
in London.
Absolute tragic, and it goes without saying that our condolences go out to Abdullah Hayai, his family, because it is such a tragic story. Waking up to this news this morning, 36-year-old para-athlete, he was in training for the World Para-Athletics Championships due to kick off on Friday over in London. He is representing the UAE in the F34 class. He is a very consummate, talented javelin thrower, as well as discus. He was due to take part in those world championships, and as you've rightly said, the cage has fallen on top of him, and tragically Abdullah has lost his life. The UAE, it goes without saying, there has been a huge outpouring of emotion on this one. Majid Rashid, who is the vice president of the UAE International Paralympic Committee, he confirmed the news earlier this morning. There will be, and this goes without saying as well, a minute silence ahead of those world championships in honour of Abdullah. The UAE contingent, there has been confirmation this afternoon, they will continue to compete, I guess, in Abdullah's honour. And as I say, everyone here at Dubai Sports Tonight Drive Live as well, wishes Abdullah's family and his friends all the very best in this sad time.
He made his debut in Rio, didn't he? So he was 6th in the javelin, 7th in the shot put. This is a class, the F34 class, is javelin, shot put and discus. So you're
correct.
Officially labelled as a thrower,
yes,
rather than a javelin thrower.
The three disciplines, as you've rightly pointed out. He also took part in the World Championships back in 2015. He finished 5th in discus on that occasion, 8th in the shot put. So this is a man who would have, who knows, maybe been contending for some medals for the UAE, taken far too soon at the age of just 36. And the IPC president, Sir Philip Craven, he has said this afternoon, "We are truly devastated by this tragic news and the passing of Abdullah."
Let's move on, Chris, and some live action now at Wimbledon. We're already underway in the men's quarterfinals.
We certainly are, yes. Let's head over to SW19. Andy Murray, the world number one, the great British hope, the defending champion over there at Wimbledon. He's taking on the 24th seed, the big serving American Sam Querrey. I can tell you he has taken the opening set by 6-3, currently 1-0 to Querrey in that second set on serve, I should point out as well. So Andy Murray making serene progress. I fully expect him to win this one in straight sets and book his place in Friday's semi-final. In the other quarter-final that is ongoing at present, it sees Gilles Muller, the man that put paid to Rafa Nadal's chances of success this year. He's taking on Marin Cilic, the 7th seed from Croatia. I can tell you, Muller, despite being on court for 4 hours 47 minutes the other night, he has taken the opening set by 6-3. So if that goes the way that it's currently going, we will see an Andy Murray Gilles Muller semi-final on Friday. The other quarter-finals later this evening sees Milos Raonic take on Roger Federer, and it will be Thomas Berdych taking on the world number two Novak Djokovic.
Hotting up, isn't it?
It certainly is, yes. It's I've enjoyed it. I thoroughly have. I've been keeping an eye on things, mainly on the text.
You surprise me.
Various reasons that we shall not go into. But Roger Federer's looked consummate, so he has Novak Djokovic. Let's give him full praise because he's been coming into this tournament not in the best of forms. There's been a lot said and written about Novak, both on the court and off it. Fancy him to get the job done against Thomas Berdych today. And if I had to be a gambling man, I'd say Andy Murray against Gilles Muller will be the semi-final, and it will be Roger Federer against Novak Djokovic on Friday as well.
Oh, tasty.
Djokovic whinging quite a lot during this tournament, though. I mean, he was upset about the scheduling the other day, but he's going on a lot about the... Now, I know a lot of people are talking about the state of the court because they've had unseasonably hot weather,
yes,
and then rain. But he's particularly moaning about it. And my theory on that is, well, they've all got to play on the same court.
Very true. Yeah, and I think Novak Djokovic maybe it shows a little chink in the armour of Novak. He's so impenetrable, or certainly was mentally, that this is maybe the new Novak Djokovic. One thing we do know, though, he relies on wonderful movement. You can make the argument he is the best mover in world tennis right now. So he doesn't want any ankle injuries, any injuries curtailing his hopes of winning what would be a 13th Grand Slam here at Wimbledon. So I guess I can see where he's coming from. He is totally right, by the way, to have a whinge about him not playing on that evening. We talked about it yesterday, didn't we? He was forced into action yesterday. I think he is right on that. But Novak Djokovic, a man who is probably feeling the pressure, truth be told, because he hasn't hit the heights that he's shown in the last few years. And as I say, though, I fancy him to get the job done today, and then it is the big one on Friday. We'll all be tuning in to Roger Federer against Novak come Friday afternoon.
You would think so. What do you think of the Monsters Ball or the Frankenfight press conference, by the way?
Oh, I hate to say it, but I did enjoy it.
Did you stay up to watch it?
I didn't stay up to watch it. I've got to be very honest. It was the first thing I did this morning was click on the various websites to watch the videos. It was entertaining. There was a lot of expletives, and that I cannot condone, of course, but it was entertaining. Conor McGregor rocked up in the beautifully tailored suit. You had Floyd Mayweather in the tracksuit with the stars and stripes of the American colours, of course, and both men went at it. Conor, I think, won the verbal jousting. I've got to be honest, I thought he was, as you'd expect, he was incredibly entertaining. But one down, three to go. I think they're in, where is it tonight, Toronto? Then they head to New York, and then on Saturday they will be in London, and then the talking stops, and it's all eyes on August 26th.
I wonder if we'll see a different suit at each press conference, because everyone talking about his suit this morning, and you were telling me he even had expletives sewn into the arm of it. So he's sort of come out very different than you usually see him in this smart, beautiful, as you say, beautifully tailored suit. But with an edge.
With an edge. It's not until, and there was a few photos that have come out now on social media, it's not until you zoom in on the suit that you realise that it is laden with expletives woven into the suit. You can check it out on social media.
Good Lord.
Doesn't need me to point that out, but it's just Conor McGregor. It's who he is. He's trying to get under the skin of Floyd Mayweather because, as we've said time and time again, Floyd Mayweather will win this fight. Conor is trying absolutely everything in his copybook to try and throw Floyd Mayweather off his game come August 26th.
What's the difference in size between them?
Conor's the bigger man, no doubt about that. Height-wise, he'll have a bigger reach. Weight-wise as well, he is the bigger of the two men. That being said, it's a very different ball game. Yes, he's a wonderful MMA fighter. He's proven that inside the octagon, but the boxing is a completely different art form. Floyd Mayweather has proven himself over the last decade or so to be the ultimate, consummate pro in a boxing ring, the man that no one can touch. And I'm talking some guys that will go into the Hall of Fame. Oscar De La Hoya, who, okay, you make the argument he did get glove on Floyd for the opening 7-8 rounds of their bout, but eventually Floyd wore him down. The ring smarts that he's got, Manny Pacquiao couldn't get close to him, and I've got no doubt in my mind whatsoever Conor McGregor is not going to get close and that Floyd will be winning 50-0, and he'll head off to pay his tax bill and into retirement he goes.
All other sporting events though, Tim, do pale into, well, insignificance really next to what's happening tonight at Barasti.
I think that bills it appropriately. I think that's entirely right because it is going to be some evening.
Huge. Massive.
Yeah, biggest of my life, you've got to say. It's a career highlight for myself. I'll be down there hosting.
Talk us through it, Chris. Talk us through it.
The big sports quiz with Sports Tonight down at Barasti. It's opening night.
But which Chris Bacardi do we get? Do we get Chris Bacardi, the task quizmaster, or do we get Chris Bacardi, the genial sports?
Well, given the advice that you kindly passed on this afternoon, Tim.
Be horrible.
I will be horrible, yes, essentially. No one is going to...
Mean Chris is coming out.
The mean Scott will be down there this evening, but looking forward to it. Hopefully we get a good turnout. It's pretty difficult. I say that. Listen, it'll test you, is what it will do. You have to be into your sports to really get into it. Danny's done a wonderful job in putting this quiz together. There's interactive rounds, there's video rounds, there's picture rounds. It should be a good laugh. All gets underway 8 p.m. I should say it all kicks off at 8 p.m. given the fact that it is a sports quiz.
I like it. Scrum down
at Barasti.
Yeah, we'll think of a few more of those and wear them out by 7 o'clock this evening, I'm sure. Lost word again today.
The lost word.
Masterpiece for sale on eBay painted by a...
I can't use the answer. Masterpiece. Do you want to, I'll tell you what. Yep. Hold on. Once more.
The lost word.
Masterpiece for sale on eBay painted by a...
So, the eBay masterpiece painted by who?
It sounded like a B there, so using my Inspector Clouseau, I'll go with a bull. By a bull. By a bull.
By a bull?
Yes.
As in bull.
He thinks he can hear a B there on Natalie's delivery. He thinks he can hear a B.
Okay, so masterpiece for sale on eBay painted by, what is the missing word there? This is a new story today.
It is
a new story today.
I'm not giving any other clues. Come on now.
Okay, Chris. Give us an amusing answer. Send it through to 4001 or use the free app or 423 1010. Esther's smiling. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Now, we have many here. This masterpiece, Chris believed it was a somewhere beginning with B. I'm not sure. Perhaps you can hear a B here.
The lost word.
Masterpiece for sale on eBay painted by a...
I think that's leading you down a path there. But I don't know. I don't have the answer. Lots of... text in here. Bull, said Chris. I went for brother. I don't know why. breadstick was another one. Bear, cat, monkey, gorilla. Any of those?
Malzahn says a butcher. Kashif says an elephant. None of them are correct. It was painted by a beetle. Stag beetle, to be correct. Spike is his name. He lives in Japan with his human teacher. And it's a stag beetle, a really big beetle.
How big?
I mean, you know, that big. I don't know if he's that big.
That's huge.
I'd say it's about size. He's the length of a finger. There's a picture of him, on his on his human companion's finger. Big. And, you know, stag beetles have those big sort of claw things at the front. Yeah. He holds a pencil or pen felt tip pen, and makes these various paintings, which have caught the eye of people on eBay, bids reaching over $130 for one of Spike's paintings. There you go. Ms. Bryant, who is his human trainer, says that she wants to raise awareness of how wonderful insects are, and if people buy Spike's paintings, 15% will go to conservation of stag beetles, which are highly endangered.
What does stag, what does Stag get from this? The stag beetle get from
well,
this?
I guess he gets the joy of knowing that he's helped preserve his species. Apparently, he is full of character. Stag beetles are very low maintenance pets, apparently, and good for children. But Spike is a real character, she says, for a little beetle.
That's not a little beetle.
No, well, it's a big beetle, but all beetles, I guess, a little relatively if you're comparing them to, say, an elephant.
There's a great sideline. Odd pets. Oddest pet you've ever had.
Yeah.
Like people have, you know, lizards and stuff like that, or some people keep salamanders.
My brother kept snails. When
Did
we were little,
really?
He had... There's actually a name for the container you keep them in. I can't remember what it is. But, yeah, he had snails, and then they bred, so there were lots of little snails. Yeah, that was quite interesting.
Is that even a thing? Did you just pick them up in the garden and think, I'll keep
I guess
those,
so.
And it turned into
yeah,
a...
Yeah, I guess so, and it turned into a little snail colony. Yeah, that's my brother. I had a rabbit, a lot more normal.
Yeah, no, yeah, they're high maintenance rabbits. You've got to give them out a lot. They're difficult.
Beetles, low maintenance and very fun, apparently. So, yeah, let us know if you've got any strange pets. On questions that we're asking this afternoon, Tim, lots coming in on the subject of how many steps we're all taking and how active we are. Steps, you'd be surprised, says this one, no name on it. I commute 3 hours a day and I have a desk job, but I still manage to clock up 3,000 steps by 5 p.m.
They do mount up quickly.
They do. Sohrab says, take two rounds of the first and second floor of Merdiff City Centre and you will hit 7,000 steps in just 37 minutes. So clearly that's been tried out. Brendan says, I work in a typical Dubai office job and according to my Fitbit and phone, I clock 4,500 to 5,000 steps in an average working day. Most nights I walk, I do an hour's walk as well around the house. Movements, etc. 10,000 to 11,000 steps, Brendan said he's doing in a day. So I guess we are clocking up more than we realised, Tim.
Yeah, it's not that hard. You should be doing at least 2,000 a day. You'd be surprised. I mean, those seem to be general. Somebody points out, you're not a gym bunny, you're a gym rat.
I've definitely heard gym bunny too. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. No, you can definitely
be a
gym
rat, but I think be a gym bunny too.
Especially in Jim's case.
Yeah. He's more of a bunny than a rat, isn't he?
Oh dear!
Is that ears and fluffy
really,
ears?
You don't
ears?
Render Tim speechless
just,
very
you're
often,
just
but
furry, furry, furry bunny.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, like,
my hair's migrating south.
I just got back from Italy, right? People walk it everywhere there.
They do.
I bought hiking boots.
Yeah, you did.
To get
yourself around, and I think that's true of a lot of European cities for
it's
sure. And I mean,
awesome.
The weather is cooler. I mean, Safe says 1,200 steps equals a kilometre. So if you think 4,500 steps, which was the UAE average in that report, is about 3.7 kilometres. It's quite fair for Dubai, he says, but not in this insane heat. So, you know, maybe they measured in February when we were all out and about walking along the beach on that new, promenade there. I mean, you know, just don't measure it in July, August.
It's also speed of steps, isn't it? If you walk 3.7 kilometres, which is what, a couple of miles, so that's what, 40 minutes walking, half an hour, 40 minutes walking, reasonable pace, you know, but if you're doing that over the course of a day and it takes you an hour and a half to do that, you're not doing very much, are you?
No.
It doesn't really equate to great exercise.
I love our listeners. They embrace any points we throw out there. Thank you, Emma, for your message. I had five rats as pets, she said.
Five.
One only had three legs. She was called Lindy, after the dance Lindy Hop.
So
love it, Emma.
Your
Thank
dog's
you.
Named after a serial killer. Any particular reason?
I don't know if he's named after the serial killer. Well, I guess, yeah. We were inspired by watching Dexter, the TV series, which is a really great character, very well written.
Yeah.
He's a serial killer with a heart. My dog has not yet killed anybody or anything.
No, he was like the Robin Hood of serial killers.
He is the Robin Hood of serial killers,
gonna,
yeah. He only kills the baddies.
Yeah, I'm going to teach those people a
but
lesson.
It's a great name for a dog.
It is, actually. Dexter the dog works well. All right, then. Thanks, Emma. And rats. Oh, nice. They're apparently really good. The
Very
issue with rats is if you keep too many together in one, it's like people. Put too many people together, they fight. If you spread them out, they don't fight so much. You know, because we're all too close together, aren't we? That's
true.
Same with rats, apparently. Anyway, that's my rat knowledge. Done.